Our first case today is Extreme Technologies, LLC versus Stabil Drill Specialties, LLC, number 25-1129. And Counselor Bowick, you have reserved 5 minutes of your time for rebuttal.
Correct, Your Honor.
Okay, you may proceed, sir.
Thank you. May it please the court, Bobby Bowick for appellants Extreme and Hard Rock. The mere fact that the accused smoothbore eccentric reamer includes cutting teeth on its cutting blades in no way precludes a finding of patent infringement, especially when the asserted independent claims do not even require cutting teeth, only the dependent claims. The district court construed both cutting blades and cutting area is only limited to cutting blades without teeth. But that's exactly what the district court did and why we're here today.
I thought that the court held that the cutting area was the portion of the blade that cuts.
Correct.
Okay. Yes. And so that would apply whether it has teeth or not. That's what I thought the district court said.
Correct.
Am I misunderstanding?
The court construed cutting blade several years ago as a blade, a structure extending radially outward from the outer surface that cuts earth when the reamer is rotating while drilling a well. So the blades, by definition, whether it's a knife blade, a razor blade, blades cut.
Is the term at issue here the cutting surface?
Cutting area, I think, is the term. So early in this case, the court construed the two disputed terms, cutting blade and cutting teeth. Those are two separate terms, separate and distinct. Later, Stabil Drill filed a second motion for summary judgment of non-infringement, and they said, oh, yeah, we need to construe cutting area, the curved cutting area. And they advocated in their motion that there is no issue of material fact that the cutting teeth on the smoothbore are positioned as such that they only extend about 25 to 35% of the circumference of the reamer. So they advocated that the cutting area was only where the teeth lie on the cutting blade. Well, the district court rejected that. Appendix 23, the memorandum and recommendation, he says it's true that the cutting blade and therefore the curved cutting surface or area, as those terms are used in the patent, need not include cutting teeth. Well, the problem with that is when the court evaluated this summary judgment, he only considered the portion of the blades that had the teeth on it. And then
the accused device, he looked at what was the cutting area and cutting surface, the curved cutting surface in the accused device. And that was the area that actually cut. And it was the portion with the teeth that actually cut. That was the logic, right? I mean, just to make sure I understand the logic correctly.
The court basically sua sponte ruled and came up with an argument that wasn't even made by Stabil Drill. Stabil Drill just said, hey, the teeth cut. The teeth, you know, the distinction between the two parties' positions, ours is the blade of the red and green half moon sections. That's the blade. How do we know that? We look at their own patent on their device. They call that the blade. They call these things that stick out from the blade teeth. It's like if you have a bread knife that's got the little scalloped edges or a saw. You have teeth that extend out from the blade, but they're integral in their parts. So the blade is one structure. The teeth are a separate structure.
So do I understand your position is that the blade is something that should be equivalent to or the same as the curved cutting surface?
Correct.
Okay.
Because the claims say, use the term cutting blade, and it says a curved cutting area that's defined by the cutting blades. The term teeth or tooth is found nowhere in any independent claim. But what the district court has done in error here is limited the claims to teeth, and in a sense has read out narrows the claims to only include the precise curve cutting area defined only by the portion containing cutting teeth themselves, effectively reading the cutting blade structure out of the patent.
Do you agree that in the accused device, it's the surface that is not covered by teeth is not providing cutting?
I disagree, and we provided substantial evidence of that. We relied on the global engineering manager, Dr. Soren, to the rescue from Stable Drill, who testified that the spiral blades go halfway around the tool. He said those blades all contact the earth at the same time. The district court disregarded that testimony, which is improper for a court, as for the jury, to give credibility or weigh the credibility of the testimony. He disregarded that evidence. The court disregarded the evidence from our own expert, photographs showing damages to the blades in this purple circled area the district court relies on, showing that that contacts the earth. Appellant's technical expert testified that any portion of the tool that touches the wellbore will cut it. These are reamers. These things turn at a couple hundred RPMs downhole and are designed to smooth out any of the rough edges because drill bits turn to the right. Every hole is a tortuous path. It cuts a spiral, corkscrew, because the bit's turning to the right. This thing comes in behind the bit while you're drilling and levels out those ridges in that corkscrew. And any part that touches, especially when you have the amount of torque being used in oil-filled drilling with these tools that weigh thousands of pounds, are going to remove earth from that wellbore. That's what they're designed to do.
So what's the evidence that the blade, not the cutting edge, not the teeth, but when the blade strikes the earth, it cuts earth?
Yes, sir. That's a good question. We provided numerous academic sources that showed that blades without teeth remove earth. The blades are the part that extend away from the tool. We had numerous dictionaries, textbooks, and drilling showing that blades without these inserts, these little hard diamond pieces.
But in your Q's device, what evidence do you have in the Q's device that has the teeth, the diamonds, that portion of the blade that doesn't have the teeth, the diamonds, is striking the earth?
We provided photographs in our briefs. They were exhibits to our responses.
Do you want to give us an appendix site?
Sure.
And tell us when those photographs were provided.
These were provided by Stable Drill, and they were provided in response. I'm not sure if it was to the summary judgment, because, like I said, the court ruled sua sponte.
This is after summary judgment, though, right?
Right. The pictures, let me just give you answer the first question first. It's Appendix 4498, 4502, 4495. That's the photos of the area of the smooth bore without the teeth that contact the earth. And I believe those pictures are included in our opening brief as well. The problem with trying to use the actual tool, number one, we don't have access to the defendant's tool, but when you're down hole, these are done in a horizontal drilling, you're down at least 2 miles deep. Cuttings are coming up regardless. We have a thing called gravity that sucks the cuttings down into these troughs. Even if you're not rotating as long as you're circulating, pieces of rock are going to come up.
What are you trying to tell us with these pictures? I mean, these all look like pictures of the portions of these devices with blades or with teeth.
Right. What I'm trying to show in those pictures is the portions of the blades around the teeth and behind the teeth are making contact with the borehole wall. Because they make contact, you combine that with our showing that the metal is being damaged by the rock in the earth, couple that with Dr. Rogers, who says anything that's contacting the wellbore down hole is going to remove earth from the wellbore.
What page are you on?
I'm not on a page, but I've got it. I can read the page where Dr. Rogers says.
Yes.
Give me one second.
So your view is that the grooves between the teeth are also cutting area?
The grooves, they call them junk slots in the oil field. That is for the passage of the fluid carrying the cuttings back up the wellbore in the annulus between the drill pipe and the well. So the grooves in between, these little grooves that define the blades, aren't cutting because that's just designed, that's a junk slot. It's for the flow of fluid and the cuttings through there. But the blades are the portions that stick out from the reamer. I can hand this up here if you guys want to look at it. It's just a demonstrative.
Can I ask you, the pages that you identified, 4498, for example, are marked confidential for purposes of this appeal. Are they actually confidential?
They were marked attorney's eyes only by Stabridge's counsel. That's why I had to mark it in our brief as confidential.
And they've maintained the request to have that confidential?
Yes, Your Honor. And that's on page 27 of our opening brief. It might have been somewhere else, too. It's also on page, same pictures are duplicated. On page 48 as well, Your Honors. So, what's the error here? Stable Drill never argued that the blades that don't have teeth on them don't cut. They never made that argument. They never even made a suggestion. They filed a traditional summary judgment. They didn't file no evidence. They could have. Stables are presented no evidence or even suggested that any portion of the smoothbore other than that's not the teeth did not cut. It's not even in their brief. There's no evidence. Their expert didn't say it. Only thing their expert said is the flat-faced inserts cut. And they even take the position, contrary to district court's prior rulings, that the rounded inserts don't cut, even though the district court has ruled many times the rounded domes do cut. Stables it presented no evidence that the cutting teeth in any way prohibit contact of the blades from contacting the wellbore. There was zero evidence that the cutting teeth precluded the cutting blades from cutting earth or contacting the wellbore. But the district court based its non-infringement final judgment on all the claims, independent and dependent, based upon the radial circumference of the cutting teeth, which is a limitation not found in any independent claim.
Counselor, you're into your rebuttal time.
Do you
wish to reserve it?
I do wish to reserve it. Thank you.
Let's hear from Counselor Partridge.
I am Jamie Partridge, and I'm representing the appellee, Stable Drill Specialties, LLC. And with me is my colleague, Dr. Homayoun Rafetichu, and we're both with Brown Rudnick. this was the claim. I want to start with the claim. I'll start with the claim. The claims require a downhole tool that has a plurality of cutting blades, that has a curved cutting area that is approximately 50% of the reamer. There are cutting blades on the smoothbore reamer that they're undisputed. It's also undisputed that those cutting blades contain a toothed portion, and they contain, because they go almost 90%, more than 90%, around the circumference of the reamer, they have a tooth portion, about 25 to 35%. That was measured and is not disputed. And the remainder of the cutting blade is untoothed.
They're taking the position that they presented sufficient evidence to raise at least a genuine issue of material fact, that the portions that don't have teeth somehow are contacting the wellbore wall and thus providing cutting, and so that they should be included as part of the cutting surface or area. What is your response to that? What evidence do you have?
So two steps. First, we believe that there's no genuine issue of material fact that they've shown regarding contacting. And I'll go back to that, and I can talk through that. There's evidence of a reamer with no teeth, and they can talk about it all they want. But the trouble is the smoothbore reamer has teeth, And when it has teeth, you don't ignore those teeth when you make an infringement analysis.
We're on the same page as you.
Okay,
I think
great.
Is there other
just
arguments
heard,
that might have?
I heard that.
Yeah.
There's another issue. So first, contacting is not the claim term. Contacting is a term that they want to make the claim term. It's the claim term is cut. So let me be really clear. The complete absence of evidence between contacting and cutting. There is nothing regarding the smooth bore reamer that they have shown that if you contact, it cuts. There's evidence that their expert has used, but if you look carefully, there's a couple of different issues and problems with that. First, he's talking about all reamers. Second, when he gets specific questions, this was cropped from their brief, Your Honors, cropped. It was about he couldn't give specific answers unless he knew exactly the design of the reamer, and he made nothing. He had no testimony regarding the smooth bar reamer. He had it regarding old reamers, reamers, like I said, without teeth, and that was just not the issue. So there's a failure of to raise a genuine issue of material fact regarding contacting. There's a complete failure regarding whether contacting leads to cutting. And the claim term is cutting.
So the district court discounted that expert testimony, correct?
The district court did not consider that expert, yeah, correct, because it was not about the smoothbore reamer. Excuse me.
Because the testimony was directed to product, not the product. That
exactly. In fact, it was just directed randomly to, there are some reamers that can cut. It depends on the design of the reamer. The issue is, you've got to look at the smoothbore reamer to make an infringement.
Help me with the structure here. I spent days just trying to figure out from your pictures what the actual device kind of looks like, because we don't really have the best pictures. So I understand your position that the part of the blade that has the teeth is the cutting surface, and that's less than 50%. You say about 30%.
It's 25 to 35%. Excuse me.
That's about 30.
I'm sorry. I thought you said 50, and I was
No. Sorry. But their view is that something else should be considered the cutting blade, but I don't understand where that is. Is that just the rest of the portion that doesn't have teeth? And how far does that portion go? Because I thought it went most of the way around then.
It does, Your Honor, and that is what they're saying, is that the untoothed. So,
well, isn't that a problem? I mean, not for you, for them. If their definition is the blade part without the teeth has to be included, and all of that looks to me like it's well in excess of 50%.
It's 90%, over 90%.
That way. So either under your interpretation of cutting surface at its teeth, you win. Under their interpretation, he'll get up and explain to me why he wins, I think. But I don't follow why, if the blade includes the smooth part, that at least from the pictures, doesn't seem to be that it's only on half of the drill.
Well, Your Honor, I feel the same way. Because there are two main structures in the blades of the smooth bore. It's the teeth, and it's the remainder of the blades. And those blades, it's not disputed. The platform that the teeth sit on goes 90% plus around the reamer. The drawings show that. The stable drill engineering drawings, it's not in dispute. The issue is,
I mean, the more natural definition to me is cutting area is the part that cuts, which in your device is the part that includes the teeth.
Exactly, and it's limited to the part that includes the teeth. And once we showed that was our position in our summary judgment, which, by the way, our Extreme tries to say that they didn't know this position, but they stated it expressly in their response to their summary judgment that our theory was that the cutting teeth, the teeth on the blade, is what does the cutting for the smooth bore reamer. So it's not like they didn't have enough time to put in proof about that or anything.
Remember correctly also that there was a magistrate judge recommendation, and then there was an opportunity to brief that, And then the district court adopted the magistrate judge's recommendation. So there was notice and opportunity to respond, at least from the time the magistrate judge report was provided and then the district court adopted those findings, right?
Yes, Your Honor. And they provided objections on that exact issue. The district court reviewed those de novo, any of their objections.
And wouldn't that be notice and opportunity to respond? Do you think it would be?
I'm sorry.
So in order, even if there is a sua sponte grant of summary judgment in a case, all that's required is notice and an opportunity to respond. That's what the law requires. And so do you agree that at a minimum there was notice and opportunity provided through the process of the magistrate judge's opinion being could be properly objected to?
Yes, Your Honor. And also there was a procedure because it was clear from their response to summary judgment that they knew what our position was. And there's Rule 56D of the federal rules. They could have asked, or they could have asked the judge for more discovery. They could have also followed the procedure, had an affidavit under the rules for more discovery, and they didn't. And let me,
I want to ask you one more question, which is your adversary brought up page A4498 and some of the pages around there for showing that other portions other than the teeth were being impacted, were impacting the wellbore wall. Do you have any response to that? In addition, other than the one that you just went through with Judge Hughes?
Yes, and can I make sure these were the damaged pictures, the pictures of the smoothbore?
Yes.
And, well, first, they were damaged, and they were run under atypical conditions. It's clear. There's also, these were produced in discovery. So the issue was that Extreme didn't rely on these until, I believe, in at least their objections. So... So it wasn't that we didn't produce those. I thought
your view is that you think they are waived any reliance on this.
I think they could be there, that you have discretion to not rely on it.
But was it presented?
But I don't think you
was it presented to the district court judge?
Did we present it?
No, I'm asking if your adversary relied on these documents.
Yes.
And opposing summary judgment.
Absolutely. That was a highlight of their...
Then I think we do need to consider that.
We do need to what?
We need to consider that.
Yeah, but let me give you that first. Look through it. There's nothing to support those pictures than attorney argument. That's it. There's no declaration regarding that. There's no expert testimony regarding those. There's nothing. It is attorney argument, number one. Number two... I'm sorry, just a second, I have that. They're also the pictures themselves. If you really want to go into that, the pictures themselves show damage of the cutting area, nothing else. It shows either damage of the cutting area or damage of the body. It doesn't show wear and tear in the positions that the attorney is arguing. It is, again, without any support.
It appears to be a picture of damage to the cutting teeth. Am I right?
Yes, and that's what...
In between the teeth, there's a flat surface. Is that the blade?
That is the blade, but that's part of the cutting area, the 25 to 35% of the reamer, and that there's no question that it is contacting the wellbore. The issue is whether the rest of the circumference besides the 25 to 35% is contacting, not just contacting, cutting. And again, complete failure of proof on whether if it contacts, it cuts. In fact, Dr. Rogers, if you read his whole testimony, Extreme's expert, he backs off because we ask him what pieces of the reamer, if they contact, they don't cut. He says, I don't know. I would have to know the exact design of the tool. And that's the problem here, is there's a lot of stuff being thrown around, but it's gotta be our tool. It's gotta be the smoothbore reamer, and it's gotta be a reamer with teeth. And I think And I think that we met our burden, Stable Drill met their burden, and I think what you're seeing is an absolute failure of proof. Do you want me to go through the contacting issues? There's no we don't believe that they raised a genuine issue of material fact regarding the contacting, much less the cutting. And it's basically, at a high level, there is vague testimony. There is misleading. There is a misleading representation of testimony. There are tools that are not the smoothbore, which on the record say they're not the smoothbore. There are tools without teeth. Again, not the smoothbore. There is an argument where you look at the tool from the end, which is misleading. Also seems to look like that they color black and green and red. And basically the argument there, a new claim construction besides the one they're arguing on appeal now, which is contact equals cut, that one is sticking out equals cut. They literally say if something sticks out from the reamer, it cuts, and that's just absolutely not supported by the evidence. They take the district court's claim construction, which says that it's a cutting blade, a structure that is radially outward from the reamer and cuts, to say that the district court held that anything that touches the wellbore cut, that sticks out from the reamer, cuts. So there's just a lot of misinformation here.
Okay. Do you have any questions?
No.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll restore you back to 3 minutes of your rebuttal time.
Thank you. So, Dr. Rogers, the appellant's expert, testified clearly any portion of the tool that makes contact with the wellbore will cut it. The blades of their tool, there's no dispute that they have cutting blades. They have testimony on that. Their patents describe them that way. Their marketing materials call them spiral blades.
This is a testimony that the district court said was vague. Is that right?
He disregarded it because Dr. To the Rescue was deposed early in this case when they filed their first summary judgment of non-infringement. And he said, the blades contact the earth. The spiral blades go 50% around. Then he was deposed later in the case, and on direct examination, he had some softball questions where he tried to take that back and says, I don't care about the blades, all I care about is the teeth. But there's no dispute that the smooth bore has four blades, spiral-shaped, on the upper and lower that are offset 180 degrees on the tool, just like our tool, that extend out and make contact. Dr. Rogers testified that these blades, even the ones that have partial...
Are you holding up your tool or their tool?
This is our tool.
Well, why are you showing us your tool? The infringement inquiry is on the accused infringing devices. I mean, that's a little bit misleading, frankly.
Your Honor, it's a demonstrative. I'm trying to show how these tools work. They're 180-degree opposed lobes that have blades cut in it. I don't have the dimensions of their tool to 3D print it. I just have photographs of it. A patent drawing, etc. They have not given us, here's our dimensions of our tools. Now, where we started is the foundation principle of patent law is that the addition of unclaimed features, such as cutting teeth, to an accused device does not defeat infringement. That's black letter patent law. Now, to rebut this 90% blade that you ask about, Judge Hughes, that's only on their 12.5-inch tool, which I think they made four or five of, and it doesn't matter. Let me tell you why. These claims use the word comprising approximately 50% of the circumference. That means it can be more and still infringe. Even if the 12.5-inch tool is 90% blades around the circumference, it infringes on a claim that uses comprising approximately 50% because it does more. Additionally,
did you get a claim construction that said that?
The district court's claim construction said approximately 50% was construed to be between 45 and 55%.
That doesn't help you with your comprising argument.
Right, but this 90% argument is limited only to the 12.5-inch tool. The other tools aren't even close. They're all 50%. Dr. To the Rescue says these spiral blades extend approximately 50% around their circumference of the tool. Dr. To the Rescue said all the blades contact the earth when it's rotating down a hole, not just the teeth, but the blades.
Okay, you run out of time, sir.
Thank you.